In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The scriptures last week and this week have been zingers, haven't they? Preachers call them the hard teachings of Jesus for a reason. Last week, Reverend Olivia led us on an important examination on Jesus' hard teachings about divorce. And this week we have to the rich young man, give everything up and give it to the poor. Now, it would be way too easy, I think, to push this gospel up the ladder and say it's about somebody richer than we. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk. But if you own a car, you are in the top 18% of people in the world. If you make more than $50 a day, that puts you in the top tier of wealth globally. So we really can't get around it. Today's gospel is speaking to us. The truth is, we carry a lot more around in our lives that probably needs to be given away or given up than just simply our wealth. So how do we respond to the Word of God living and active in our life in light of this gospel? I want to look at the three paragraphs of the gospel and point out at least one thing to you in each paragraph that I noticed. So that first paragraph of the gospel this morning, Jesus is on a journey with his disciples. You just heard it. The man runs up to him, wants to know, what's the secret, Jesus? How do I earn eternal life? This man's coming to him knowing he's really good. He's devout, he's followed the commandments, and then Jesus throws him the zinger. He has a lot. And Jesus says, you want to know real, eternal life? Give it away and give it to the poor. Now note, he doesn't say, throw your possessions in the garbage dump. Give them to someone else who needs them. I never noticed this until this reading, so I kept researching more, and not only does Jesus give the man the secret to eternal life, redistributing what he has to those in need, but when he offers the secret to this man, the Gospel of Mark says, Jesus loved him. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus loves us. We know from the Gospel of John where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But this is the only place where it directly says Jesus loved someone in the Gospel of Mark. So in this Gospel, Jesus is showing us what love looks like. And sometimes love looks like telling the truth that we don't want to hear. So let's go on to the second paragraph, where Jesus continues to tell us things we don't want to hear. How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. What? The disciples respond. They're perplexed. And then Jesus makes this strange reference to this camel going through the eye of a needle. Now, if we're talking about a sewing needle and a camel, then of course it's impossible. And the disciples, they hear it and they realize it's impossible for anyone to be saved without the power of God. So it's impossible. It's impossible for us to be saved on our own without God. So then how are we to follow Jesus? Maybe the right question is, how can we not follow Jesus? So there's this archaeological evidence of stories from the 9th century carved in stone, and some stories dating back to the 15th century that posits that there may have been this gate in Jerusalem in the first century with an entrance so narrow they called it the Eye of the Needle. And in order for people of wealth to enter, they would need to unload the riches weighing down their camel, literally laying down their load so they might enter the holy city unencumbered. Now, beyond these 9th and 15th century points of evidence in storytelling, in carved out figures that are long after Jesus lived, there is no evidence that such a gate actually existed in Jerusalem. But the idea is intriguing, isn't it? That the rich young man, and that we are plagued by the things that load us down, the tyranny of too much. And if we are to truly follow after God, we are to drop the weight of anything we grasp more earnestly than we do the teachings and practices of Jesus Christ. Today's gospel is paired with Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? I've read some commentaries that suggest that those words, though written before his time, in the Christian tradition are ultimately reserved for Jesus Christ alone, crucified and suffering on the cross. And when we cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It could actually be an invitation for us to figure out what has estranged us from God, who's ever present, who's always waiting for our return. The God who loves us by asking us to do hard things. Now, the scripture says that the rich young man went away grieving. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you asking me to do this hard thing? It doesn't say what he did next, except that he went away from Jesus. For all we know, he could have sorted out his shock and his grief, and then finally been able to meet Jesus at this command. Maybe he lightened his load and eventually found the key to eternal life that Jesus had offered him. I wonder today, how is Jesus loving you? If you approached Jesus and laid your life before him, what step would Jesus ask you to take out of love for you? Now, you might be thinking, well, that step's impossible. And guess what? It is. Without God's help. For all of us, those first steps that we do when someone loves us into walking them can be painful. Attending the first 12-step meeting, finally removing the life-sucking app from the phone, making a commitment to stop viewing pornography, calling the marriage counselor, coming out of the closet, confronting that person or that group with the hard truth, or taking that daring step, that next step in education or a call to ministry that literally requires parting with most of what we have to to follow Jesus. Or when it comes directly to our wealth, taking the first step in giving some or more of it away. And what might happen once we take that step? Well, I want to look finally at that last paragraph in today's gospel, where Peter says to Jesus, "Well, look, we've given up everything and followed you. What next?" And Jesus says, "There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold in this age." And it's really important to note what Jesus says Peter will gain 100-fold, and what Jesus leaves out and what Jesus adds. So what does Jesus leave out? Look closely. Jesus leaves out the fathers and what they will gain. And Jesus adds to all of what they will gain with persecutions. You'll gain 100-fold of houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions. What kind of trade-off is this, Jesus? That's what I'd be saying if I were Peter. In the first century, this is the father's part. What's the deal with the fathers? Where'd the fathers go? It was a patriarchal society where the fathers owned everything else that Jesus mentioned. Mothers, brothers and sisters, houses, fields, the fathers owned it all. Jesus leaves out the fathers and adds that you're going to gain all the rest, but you'll gain it with persecutions. Jesus, in saying this, is essentially calling the disciples into an entirely new way of living that changes the very structure of how they understand the world works. And living into that new way is not an easy way. And it's actually impossible without God's help. What does that mean for us? Well, what's the way that you structure your life and your world? What dominates and owns you? Notice, where do you spend most of the time in your week focusing your attention? What consumes you? Is it your work? Spending your money? Looking at your accounts? Thinking about the next meal or the next drink? Ruminating on the past? Worrying about the future. If you felt shocked or grieved by any of the possibilities I've mentioned, I want to encourage you not to walk away from that shock and grief, but pay attention to it. Jesus wants to dismantle whatever is holding you captive and set you free to a new way of living that is eternal life. Jesus makes it clear that nothing changes unless we are willing to take that first step in faith. Now, part of Calvary's vision that we discerned over these past years is to be Jesus' hands, heart, and feet, humbly collaborating with our neighbors to realize beloved community. If we are to ultimately realize Jesus' beloved community in our corner of the world here in Cincinnati, it begins with each one of us observing and understanding how Jesus lived and breathed and walked, and then humbly asking Jesus to hold our hand, to help us be his hands as we take the first step. Today, Jesus demonstrates nothing is impossible with God. And it's all impossible without God. And you can hear Jesus love you today and give you a first step. And you can simply go away grieving and remain in pain. Or you can drop everything and follow. The truth is that eternal life is always waiting for you. And you are always invited to take the first step with God's help. Amen.